How's it all going to work out? Well, maybe some of us have read chapter 4 already, or we've heard it read this morning. And as we read, we see how Boaz acted responsibly and wisely to seek the intentions of this man towards redeeming the land and also Ruth. Boaz was willing to forsake his love for Ruth to see the law upheld. He meets this man at the town gate and in the presence of 10 of the elders of the town, and we sense that he is seeking the Lord's will in this matter. Would we be willing to forego something that our heart desired for the sake of other people? Maybe I could think of the way Helen and I, in our early relationship, or how that developed. But that's another story, another time. As we read on, we see that the other man, the closer kinsman redeemer, is not willing to redeem both the land and Ruth, because he said it might damage his own estate, taking on not only the land but also Ruth, and the offspring could inherit that land. And we sense for Boaz what a great relief. Now he is free to declare his intentions. And so we read in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, where Boaz said, "Today you are my witnesses that I have brought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the records." So is this now the purpose of Ruth? We see that Ruth was faced with overwhelming disadvantages. Ruth was poor. She was facing racism as she went with Naomi to Bethlehem. She had no job and she was a widow. But what Ruth did was that she valued relationship over advantage. She made wise, godly choices when she decided to return to Bethlehem with Naomi, and for the God of Naomi to be her God. And Naomi fully expected that her husband, Elimelech, and her two children and their wives would all return to Jerusalem. But their dreams were shattered when Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died and her two sons died. And that brought so much pain into her life. And maybe we sense that her faith wasn't strong, but she never gave up. And when we read in this chapter of the grandson that she held in her arms, and we think, well, no shattered plan can block God's plan when there is hope. And then there was Boaz. Well, Boaz had wealth, but that wealth did not have his heart. His desire for love made money a secondary thing. His integrity refused immoral or illegal movements towards satisfaction of that desire, the desire to redeem Ruth. And maybe a truth from Ruth is that no matter how dark the world is around you, no matter how difficult the world is inside you, no matter what turmoil or problems you are facing, God has a plan for your life and you can trust in God. But is there more to the book of Ruth? Well, let us consider the blessings that were pronounced. So the elders and those at the gate were delighted at the news that Boaz had brought them when he stated his intentions. And they pronounced a blessing on Ruth. And they said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel." Who were Rachel and Leah? Well, they were fruitful in bearing children, and their children were the foundation of the Israelite nation, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the descendants of Ruth and Boaz were to have a part in maintaining the house of Israel. And who is this descendant, we wonder? Was it the son that had just been born to Ruth and Boaz, or to be born, or was it someone else? And they also pronounced a blessing on Boaz. And we read, they said, "May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." And we might think, well, where is this place called Ephrathah? Well, Ephrathah was a name for the area around Bethlehem. And we wonder who they were referring to when they said, "May your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." What were they meaning? The birth of Perez to Judah and Tamar was from a union related to this levirate practice where when the husband died and Tamar's husband died, then Tamar could expect Judah to provide a husband for her. And so there's that sort of model, and Perez was an appropriate model within the ancestry of Boaz. And we read in the Bible that the descendants of Perez had raised up the tribe of Judah to a prominent place in Israel. And so there was significance in pronouncing that blessing on Boaz. But was there a deeper meaning? We sense that we are looking beyond a regular marriage here, and that God has a special blessing for Ruth and Boaz in his plan and purpose, as that he brought them together and they had this baby. But the baby hasn't been mentioned yet, and I've sort of jumped ahead, but in verse 13, it's just a simple statement. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And we are struck as they recognized it was the Lord that enabled her to conceive. Was this part of the Lord's plan for them? And these women earlier had noticed the sadness and despair of Naomi as she returned to Jerusalem without her husband, without her son. And back in chapter 1 we read, "When Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred and the women exclaimed, 'Can this be Naomi?' 'Don't call me Naomi,' she said, 'call me Mara, because the Lord has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me.'" But in her despair, Naomi never lost her faith in God and her will to care for Ruth, the Moabitess. Naomi simply kept going. And as she kept going day by day, she realized that the love that Ruth had for her and the love that God had and the plans that God had. And the women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer." And we wonder if they were referring to Boaz or to the child. And the women said to Naomi, "May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age." And the next part seems particularly to refer to your son. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons. Now, seven is considered to be a number of completeness. And that was very, very high praise to be poured out on Ruth. Ruth loves you and is better to you than seven sons. Such is their esteem of Ruth, and they noticed how much Ruth had loved and cared for her mother-in-law. So, yeah, for your daughter-in-law has given birth to him. And what a joy to be a grandmother or be a grandfather or even a great-grandmother or a great-grandfather as we have just become. And Naomi had a special place in Ruth's life and in the life of the child. And the child, what great promise a baby holds. And we don't know why the women named the son of Ruth and Naomi. Maybe you've got some ideas, but I don't. And then the statement in verse 17, the second part, is highly significant, where we read that this child that they named Obed was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Was David the one who was to become famous throughout Israel, as we read in verses 11 and 14? Or is there still another to come? And so this was linking Boaz with David, and David the person who is described as being person of God's own heart, the person who was very helpful in freeing the Israelites from the Philistines and for trying to bring them closer to the Lord. And then we have the family line. We think, well, that's strange, having this family line. So I've got here this little book, and this is our family line. Well, mine anyway. Who am I? I'm the fifth generation from Thomas Threadgold, who arrived with his family from England at Port Adelaide in 1847. And they were very fruitful, William and Thomas. And lots of children resulted, as you can see from this book. And so a fuller family line papyrus was given, and it would have been very meaningful to the people who were reading that. Perhaps not as significant for us today, but very significant. It just linked Ruth and Boaz into history. And Boaz was a direct descendant of Judah. And he was also a descendant of Tamar, who had offspring after she met up with Judah. We read the story, the sad story in Genesis 38, where Tamar where Tamar met up with Judah, and Judah thought she was a prostitute, but their union gave birth to Perez, and Perez was eventually Boaz appeared in that line, and then David, and we read that God can make the most. God can use the most unlikely situations as part of his plan. And we read Genesis 38 and we think, well, the whole plan of God is messed up now. But God is able to turn things around. And then we read in Matthew's genealogy that Boaz's mother was Rahab. And Rahab was not a Jew. But it was thought that she was a prostitute, the first Gentile of the land of Canaan to embrace the God of Israel. And so there is a mixed family tree, and you think, well, why couldn't God use a family tree where every excuse me, where everybody was highly respected and good and honorable? And we read that, yeah, Rahab was a Gentile, Ruth was a Moabitess, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a child outside of marriage. And you know, all these became ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Ruth, God is displaying a profound truth that no matter what happens in life, God can reach into our hearts with power to form us into someone who values Him above everyone else and everything else. And the book of Ruth is about two people who have been brought together by a highly unlikely series of circumstances and became ancestors of the great King of David, who in turn became searching for the right word, but what I'm saying is that Jesus descended from David, the line of David. And so Boaz is praised for being a kinsman redeemer for Ruth, and also affecting the life of Naomi. And Ruth and Naomi provided a child, a grandchild for Naomi. In the genealogy in Matthew 1, we read that a descendant of Boaz and David is Jesus. And we think, is the redemption provided by Boaz, or we can consider the redemption provided by Boaz and the redemption provided by Jesus. Is Jesus the one who is providing redemption for the world? Is He our kinsman redeemer? Boaz was willingly paid the price to redeem the land and Ruth, his bride. Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, voluntarily paid the price to take away our debt and to take us to be His bride. We were meant to face God's punishment for our sin, and we all fell short and we couldn't pay our debt. But in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 we read that in Jesus we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. We are adopted into the family like Ruth was, with all its rights and privileges and protection. The story of Ruth surely is a picture of how Jesus redeems us. Jesus is the ultimate kinsman redeemer. And I wonder, is He our kinsman redeemer? Is Jesus your kinsman redeemer? And I think this really is the climax of the book of Ruth. Let us pray. Father, your word is so powerful. Your word teaches us many things. But above all, throughout your word, we read of how you are searching to rescue us and to bring us into your family. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you for the book of Ruth. And we thank you for the story of redemption. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.